I love weddings. I love baptisms. It so reminds me of God's love for us. You know, one of the amazing memories, there are many memories, but one of the amazing memories of baptism was probably 2001, I believe, when, you know, we were at still at the old church in Riverdale, still being part of a Korean church. I remember there are some of our new college kids, college students. Some of them are married and have children now. They wanted to be baptized. And they said, can we be immersed? Because we were in presence. We have none of the Baptists that come to Baptist or anything like that. So, okay, we decided from that, I think fall 2001, number of college students, I think Cindy was there, I believe, with some of others. And we went to the Sandy Point State Park at 8 in the morning. It was so cold. And we went out there. We dunked the people in the water. Water was really cold. Really, really cold. And we had so many memories of something like that. I remember another year, there was snow the day on Friday. We were baptizing. And on Saturday, we were baptizing people on Sunday. We went out on Sunday. It was so cold. I mean, I remember another miracle story was that on the way, it was raining all the way. When we got there, it stopped raining. Once, eventually, baptized people, when it came out of the water, it began to rain all over again, as if God just opened the weather just for us to baptize people in the water. I remember that this is probably the one that I love the most. I remember it was a year we were baptized about 12 people. I'm in the water, cold. You feel like a needle poking in your legs, okay? I'm in there telling people, hurry up, come out. Hurry up, come. They're coming one by one. I remember it was so cold in the water, and it was steep coming in, I remember. And as I said, will you follow Christ even when it's difficult? I mean, it reminded me sometimes following Christ is difficult. That cold water reminded me sometimes following Christ is not easy. Will you follow Christ? I remember Steve said, yes. And so, but yet, after when people go in the water, come out, they go, yes. Amazing. Amazing. Life in the Spirit series. Now, I want to really focus. Remember, we began in May, the Sunday after Pentecost. And the church really began with the Holy Spirit coming upon and God's people because of the promise Jesus gave. Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. That's what Jesus said. And according to that promise, Holy Spirit came. Whole book of Acts, if you look at it, you know, and really there are many ways to describe it. It's a book of Acts. What kind of Acts is it? I was scrolling through Google, you know, and doing research and Google search and found some slides, pictures that sort of highlight some of the things I understand Book of Acts says. The Book of Acts is the continuing of the Acts of Jesus Christ. Book of Acts is about the Acts that continues what Jesus Christ came to do. Or it can also, Book of Acts is also could be described as Book of Acts of the Apostles. Those are sent by God. Also, Book of Acts is also a book that talks about Acts in the life of in the Spirit. It's the life in the Spirit is mentioned in the Book of Acts. Another one, look at this. I love this picture. When you study the Book of Acts, you'll find it's about witness. You shall be my witnesses all around the world. Book of Acts, yes, it talks about going to the ends of the earth. The Book of Acts is about God's word and grace going to the ends of the earth. I don't know what ends of the earth means to you. You used to think it's in going to Amazon jungles or somewhere in Africa, remote places, but it may actually be the cement jungles of New York City where people really, really can be isolated or different places. Book of Acts is also about church and fire. You'll see how Spirit of God is moving in the book of Acts and church becoming church on fire. And so that church really is unstoppable church. You see book of Acts about talking about how the church, people of God are unstoppable and spreading the word of God everywhere. Another one, I love this. So book of Acts speaks of a people who are empowered for the missions, for God's work. Now this is mine. I edit this a little bit. I took a picture and edited it. I rather call the book of Acts as book of Acts as Acts of the people of the Spirit. It is book of Acts is about the acts, the deeds of the people of God in the Holy Spirit. People filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the title of today's message. Now today we are going to today's not worst word, today's Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 10. I want to tell a story here. It's a story that you know well in the Bible. It is one of the first miracle account Bible gives after the Pentecost and after the church was birthed. Chapter 2, we looked at last week how when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and how Peter preached the gospel, 3,000 believed that day and how they became instantly a church. Church's birth and how they were gathering regularly, daily, worshiping God and honoring God. And they became a community unlike none other. How they were sharing their lives with one another. But now, chapter 3 of book of Acts talks about one of the first acts, first miracles that happened. It's about a man born lame who was begging for handout or alms at the temple. How our Holy Spirit meets him through Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter and John. This is a story. We want to go into the story a little bit. I want to read slowly, talk about it a little bit. Why am I going in this thing? This is a thesis I am really sharing. This is what God has been putting in my heart. Church, the people of God, living in the Spirit. We are people called on a mission. As the book of Acts talks about, we are people of God on mission. The good news, the love of Christ is being preached from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. We are part of that. People being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is marked as people with mission. We don't just live for ourselves. We don't just live for our own dreams and desires. We live in the light of God's heart and mission and vision in this whole world. God wants whole world to be redeemed, restored. That people filled with the Spirit of God is people who are walking, living in that vision and mission. Amen? God is good. So let me read. If you have a Bible with you, if you can open your Bible, that'll be really great. If you don't, you can look it up. But rather that you follow along in your own Bible with you. And everybody putting out their phone right in front. Okay? Okay? Okay, fine. I'd rather that you have a hard copy. Thank you, guys. You have a hard copy with you. Okay. Let's look. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Let me stop right here. No, they are not Christians yet. Because the earliest followers of Jesus were Jews. They were not called Christians until chapter 12 or 13 of the book of Acts, when non-Jews became believers in Christ. And you couldn't call them Jews anymore. They were Christians, they called it. Until then, it was Jews who were turning to Jesus Christ. And they were what they call Messianic Jews, Jews who believed in the Messiah, Jesus. And now Peter and John, even the Holy Spirit came upon them and the church's birth, they were still doing all the things a good Jew will do. The good Jew in Jerusalem will go and pray three times a day in the temple. Early in the morning when they sacrifice. In mid-afternoon, they call it, I think, minchat prayer. Afternoon sacrifice, that's when they pray about 3 p.m. And then sunset, they will pray three times a day. And Peter and John were going up the temple to pray. This is amazing for me. They were filled with the Spirit. God was doing amazing things. They still had the tradition. They had a habit of prayer. I'm just happy I need to say something about prayer. Prayer, this miracle we're going to look at, prayer preceded all. Prayer prepares people for miracles. Prepares birth God's power and miracles in them. It is prayer that prepares people for to see God and meet God. And prayer is so important. Now, you remember Daniel in exile, taken as a prisoner in the teenage years into Babylon. For 70 years, he prayed three times a day facing Jerusalem. And after seven years of prayer, he saw God's promise answered. How the Israel, God's people return back home. They'll return back, exile return back to Jerusalem. He prays 70 years, three times a day. Now, I would say, why don't we see miracles as often as we do? You see in the Bible? I want to say one of the reasons, because we are not praying. We are not expecting God. We are not asking God. The prayer has been thrown in the corner. I know almost every church, this is true, where the prayer becomes the most difficult thing. It's not an easy thing. But the prayer is the center, really one of the core of our spiritual life. Prayer is when we communicate, spend time with God, walk with God, hear God, and ask God. And it's just like in any marriage. Good marriage is always sustained by good communications. Are you talking to your wife? Are you talking to your husband regularly? That's a good marriage. If you're all screaming and you're avoiding each other, not talking, that tells you a lot about your marriage. Communication, same with our walk with God. If you are not speaking to God, talking to God, if you are not communicating with God, something's wrong with our spiritual life. Let me go on. A man, so that as they're going to temple, a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Another name is Nicanor, the gate. It's a beautiful gate, one of the gates into the temple, in order to beg alms of those who are entering the temple. This guy has never walked in his life because from his birth, he was lame. I bet his legs were shriveled up. Has no strength whatsoever. And then now he's smart enough, and people are bringing him to the temple, the gate. When you come to pray, you come to the temple, you're feeling generous in your heart. I'm coming to God. You see somebody in need, your heart is usually stirred to be nice to the guy more than usual. That's why he's always set there every day. But not, I don't know if you thought about it. You know, Jesus came to the temple many times. That means Jesus probably passed him by too. Right? And Peter and John came to temple every day to pray. Now they must see the guy every day, every time they pass by. So now he's a guy sitting at the gate, beautiful, who are lame from birth, never walked, put it in there. Verse 3, and when the lame beggar saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, and he began asking to receive alms. He's asking, please help me. Give me something. But Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, look at us. You know why this is remarkable? When somebody comes, when you're driving, you stop at the stoplight, right? People come and say, and they knock, they say, and they have a little paper. I'm hungry, give me something, whatever. You try to not look at them. If you look at, you feel like you have to give something, right? Right? Am I not true? You're all laughing because you know this is true. You don't look at them. You feel guilty, right? Because when you look, when you connect with them, you are making a connection. Here, Peter says, look at us. He's not avoiding his attention. He's look at us. And the guy, probably I've never heard anybody saying, look at us. So he looks at them, right? Expecting something. Look what Peter says. And he began to give them his attention. He's looked at it, expecting to receive something from them because he said, look at us. And then Look at us. Right? That's interesting, isn't it? It's very important here. Often when we see people in need, we don't want to look at them. Because when you look at them close, it is uncomfortable. Because you have to do something. When you look at them, when you look at people hurting, if you really look at them, your heart is somehow stirred. You cannot walk away without your heart being stirred. So when he said, look at us, he's getting really involved looking at and getting your heart involved here. And Peter said, I have no silver and gold. So now imagine the guy. So why are you telling me to look at you? You have no gold and silver? But what I do have, I give you to you. Diamonds? I don't know. But what I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. I don't know if you noticed. Every other verse was in NASB. This is, I put in ESB because I love NASB, but I don't know. In this verse, NASB did wrong. They forgot to put in the rise up part. And ESB puts it in there. I checked the Greek to make sure it is right. Rise up and walk. He commands. And now he said, and Peter says, looked at the guy and says, you know, gold and silver I do not have. If that's what you want. I don't have that. But what I have, I give to you. What did he have? He says, and looked at him, rise up and walk. He has something better that he needed. Think about this. Just think about this. Such as I have, I give you. I thought about this. Think about it, right? You know, the statistic says many, many Christians do know we should share the gospel and show people of God's love. But reality is most people don't. Let me ask you, let me look at you face to face. How many of you in the last 6 months took time to talk to somebody about knowing Jesus Christ? Look at me, how many of you? I bet your eyes are all going down. I remember, I don't know where I saw it. They said, we will make you a deacon in the church if you let 10 people to Christ. You'll make an elder in our church if you let 25 people to Christ. How many churches will say the elders and deacons will qualify there? Somewhere, we don't really share because we don't think I don't think I have enough. So often we think I don't have what they need. So, you know, all of us are saying, silver and gold, I have none. What you have, I don't think I have. We are fearful that what you say might be wrong. We are fearful that I don't know enough. We are fearful. But here, Peter and John says, no, silver and gold, I have none. That's what you're looking for. That I don't have. But what I have, they declare we have something that what others don't have. We have something. Many Christians do not know what they have inside of them. We do not know what God has given to us. We do not know who we are in God. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing God has already given to us. Amen? We have the Spirit of God. God, the Spirit of God living in us who raised the dead Jesus from the life. We have Spirit of God lives in us who created heaven and the earth. He, that God lives in me. We forget what we have, who we are in Christ. And it says, Peter says, such as I give to you. And he says, rise up and walk. You know, he realized he has authority in Christ Jesus. He has authority, he has Spirit of God in him. And he said, rise up and walk. He commended. He didn't say, God, will you make him rise? No. He declared the authority God has given him already. Rise up and walk. Same spirit that was in Peter is in us. Amen? One of the songs we sing is, God doesn't give part of him. Right? You know, so we sing a song of pieces, right? He doesn't give pieces to us. He, when he comes in full measure who he is. Often we do not know what the Spirit of God, what God can do in our lives. We do not know. But Peter says, what have I give to you? You might not have money. You might, you know, and often I have no cash on me when I'm driving, right? And I don't even, when they knock, can you give me some money? I have no money. So I can't even look at them. But you know, but the thing is, Peter and John says, silver and gold, I have none. What have I give to you? They reached out. Did something. A lot of us don't even do that. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up. Remember, this guy never walked. I bet you the legs are really like jello. Has no strength to get up. He's beginning to lift him up. Now, the interesting thing is, right? When he commanded, rise up and walk, it didn't happen right then. When he declared it, rise up and walk, and he held the guy's hand, when he began to lift him up, there something happened. Immediately something happened. His leg began to get strength, right? And then he was able to walk, stand up. This guy, we have never walked, and he's now able to stand up. I want you to sort of begin to think about what he would do. Can you see him dancing? Can you see him, look at me? Can you see him running around? Can you see him jumping up and down? All that. Immediately, miracle happened. Miracle happened. Something that only God can do. We cannot do this. And God came and there he raised him up. He didn't do it because he has something in him. Peter goes on to preach about what happened because people are saying, looking at him, wow. And Peter says, do not look at us as if we somehow, by our own strength, did this. It's not us. It's in the name of Jesus Christ. And his faith in him made him strong. It is not me. It's all called Christ Jesus. Miracle means it's not something I did. It's God did. Amen? Really, that's what happened. A miracle happened that day. With a leap, he stood up, upright, and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking. You can see the progression, right? Walking and then leaping. And then praising God. They said, begin to walk a little bit. Oh, and begin to jump, run, and begin to praise. Yeah! And you see him running around the whole temple. Yeah, not my wife's name. Joy! There's a joy in the guy. I mean, and the thing is, Christian life in Christ is joy-filled life. Our God is God who works within us, something that we cannot do on our own. He comes, he shows himself mighty. And that verse says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Everybody said, wow, isn't that the guy, the beggar? What happened to him? He's at least probably 40 years, or 40 years, 40, the old guy have never walked. What's going on here? People are all amazed and were not. I'm too excited here. Let me slow down and say something. I don't know if you thought about this. I mentioned this earlier. I bet you that beggar saw Jesus more than once. Because Jesus came to temple many times. And he saw Peter and James walked in many times. But why did it that day was he healed? Why not before? Why that day? That day. And you think about it. And the thing is, one of the things I understand is that there's a timing of all things. Somehow that day, my guess is when the beggar said, Peter and John, give me something. I bet they heard it many times. But there somehow knew in their heart, Holy Spirit telling him, you can give something to him. Holy Spirit was speaking to him at the time. Jesus said, even Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see Father doing it. I don't say anything unless I hear Father saying. The healing miracles happened because at that moment, at the right time, right place, Spirit of God is telling Peter to do something that day. And I think that a lot of us are not listening. We are not even accustomed to listening to the Holy Spirit. in and obey what Holy Spirit says and do what He has asked us to do. You know, and we may say, I don't have silver and gold, and I walk away. You know, don't bother me. I have no cash. Would not walk away. No. And there may be, God may stir your heart. Maybe stop your car. Park your car, get out. Maybe stop. You know, and can I pray? I don't have a silver and gold. I don't have money. Do you take credit card? No? Okay, at least can I pray for you? You know what I'm saying, right? And that God is inviting us. This is what mission is. This is what being a witness is. Every moment I'm listening, what God wants, is anything you want me to do? And the Spirit of God speaking to us, because wherever we are, God has placed us there. We are in missions. We, all of us, are to be witness of Jesus Christ from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth, even at your workplaces or not. So now I want to look at what happens. Now there's a wonder and amazement filled that place. Look at the next verse. While he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. Now, you know, see people all running. What happened? And they are all gathering because around this guy, this beggar who was lame, and they see him running around. They all come and see what's happening. And they're coming around Peter and John because they think that they know that they are the ones who caused this thing. And they said, when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, "Men of Israel, men and women of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you gaze at us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? Why are you looking at us as if we are some strange amount? We have some kind of power, some holy thing that we have to heal this guy?" No. Peter began to testify about Jesus Christ. You hear what a little bit. Now, I'm going to continue this message next week. Let me read a few more verses here. And then Peter began to say, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." It's about Jesus. "And the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him." Now, reminding them, the God glorified Jesus, and yet you want him to be dead. And even the Pilate wanted to let him go. You rejected him, but you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, the Barabbas, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." Now, you know what he's saying? You know, you rejected Christ and he was dead, but now God raised him up. He was resurrected. That's what they're declaring. God raised Jesus up. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes from him has given him this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now Peter is going on to talk about how it's Jesus, the faith in Jesus. Okay, now we're going to continue and look at this more next week. But I want to just think about this. Now, a couple of things just before I go into closing comments. The name is the name of Jesus, the Messiah. It is the name of Jesus. He says, by faith in him, that man was healed. And God did miracle because of Jesus and the faith in the name of Jesus. Whose faith? Peter's faith. Not in that man. His faith in Jesus. In faith in God made him healed, restored. Now, remember the verse we read before? I put a little caption on the head to remind us what this is about. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, your neighborhood, in all Judea, Samaria, your region, even to the remotest part of the earth." Probably the place you never want to go, the furthest place. Okay? Now, I want to give you a few quotes here. Fundamentally, our mission means our committed participation as God's people at God's invitation and command. in God's own mission within the history of God's world for the redemption of God's creation. Your mission is really we partnering with God in his invitation, in what God is doing, how he's restoring, redeeming all things in the world. That's what mission is. This is a quote from Tim Keller. Redemption is much more. Salvation, redemption is much more than simply saving souls. It will ultimately entail the complete healing of creation, including social justice, the reunification of all humanity, and the end of physical decay and death. You see, coming into Christ, God's kingdom coming, salvation, doesn't only mean our soul being made right and restored, going to heaven. It means restoring of all things. When I look at injustice in the world, we need Christ's redemption there. When I see racism in the world, we need Christ there. Finish this quote. But even now, it means bringing the health and coherence of Christ's lordship back into every aspect of human life. You see, it's about Christ being the Lord of all things. When Christ is the Lord of all things, everything is restored. The Christian church is to be a new society in which the world can see exhibited what family, business practices, race relations, and all of life can be when it's under the kingship, the lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, as God's people, we show to all people what it should look like if we are living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. My family and my work, everywhere. That's what being a witness, we are called to be part of that. You see, the Peter on that day, John on that day going to the temple, stopping for that one man, the lame man, was part of that, not just doing miracles, part of that God's mission. The result, many, many people believe, because that one healing, the miracle happened, and the hundreds of people, thousands of people gather and hear the preaching of Peter, and Bible says, but many of those who had heard the message believed. And the number of the men, it doesn't even mention women, men came to be about 5,000. That means huge. There was a lot of people believed because of this one miracle. And this is what one day Peter stopping for the layman and giving what he has brought about a miracle. And many, many came to know Jesus Christ. You see, witness is that. But what I have, I give to others. Stopping for one who is in need. Stopping for one who seeing where they are. Stopping for one who is hurting. And giving what I have. What I have. It may be a simple prayer. It may also actually be my money I give. It may actually be me helping them, whatever it might be. And that's all part of witnessing and showing them who Christ Jesus is. We are people called for missions. We are all called to missions. We don't always have to do miracles. But whatever we have, we give. Obedience to Jesus Christ. God is honored. That's what life in the Spirit looks like. Life in the Spirit looks like people on missions. And doing what Christ, Spirit of God, leads us to do. Giving what we have. Sharing with what we have to those who are in need. And God is honored. Like the little boy who was at lunch, he went to hear Jesus speak. He brought his lunch, the mom packed him. Five bread and two fish. Little boy's lunch, five small loaves, the bread, and two little sardines, his lunch. When Jesus, and there were thousands of people gathered, and they were hungry, and they're looking, is there, does anybody have any food? And the boy giving what he had, literally have this five bread and two little sardines. In Jesus' hand, feeds all the people and left over. That's what God does. In the name of Jesus, for his glory. Do not say, I do not know enough. Do not say, I don't have enough. Do not say, I'm not good enough. But sharing and giving what we have and declaring God's goodness to others, stopping to pray for others. Amen? Because his name is mighty and powerful. be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the book of Acts is about continuing the acts of Jesus, doing what we see Jesus do. You know, and Jesus, that's what you, and where did Peter and John learn about stopping for that beggar? That's what lame meant. That's what Jesus did. Jesus stopped for one Samaritan woman who was living in loneliness, rejected by society in shame. Jesus stopped for that woman, talked with the woman, and that woman found Savior. Jesus walking down the street and see hated villain of the society, as short Zacchaeus, who is on the tree trying to look at Jesus passing by. He's a tax collector, hated tax collector. Jesus stops to talk to the guy, and that guy finds salvation in God. You see, stopping for the one, isn't it? That they learned, they saw what Jesus did, and they did themselves. What they have, they gave. We're called to be people in mission. People filled with the Spirit, living in the Spirit of God, are people living in the heart and mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me make a final comment. I'm so grateful. Lately, I've been noticed, I'm sensing there's a stirring in our church. Many different people, many different ways. I think God is stirring us the ways to reach people, and touch people. And even Awana is that. Awana is that we want to find a way to reach the kids and love, show them how much God loves them. People taking time to do that. And the different things we did is all that. And I know some of us are praying about doing something in College Park. And that's, I think, stirring up God. I know there's a stirring of some people, within our church, wants to do an outreach program called Alpha Course. And where do we want to really share with people the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Will you understand? Aren't your heart being stirred like mine? When I hear the story about Peter and what God has done through God's people, do not look at the story as, oh, he's a Peter, he's a mighty apostle. No, do not see that in that way. That what you're doing is, oh, he's apostle, I'm nothing, I cannot do this thing. No. See it as one of the followers of Jesus Christ, one of the people filled with the Spirit of God's doing. And which means we are part of that. We have the same heritage we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? When Juliet got baptized, when she's baptized, she's saying, I am part of the community. I'm part of the people who are on mission to love the world in this world. And bring God's grace to all the people. Let's sing with the last, third verse.